Chapter number 16 tonight, and we'll begin our reading in about verse number 6 this evening. We're following the Apostle Paul, and we're to right up against his third missionary journey. And we're going to look at the beginning of, we saw, if you'll recall, I wasn't here last week, and I appreciate Brother Billy filling in for me so aptly. But if you'll recall, 2 weeks ago, we dealt with Paul and his starting in the missionary journey. Him and, if you'll remember, him and Barnabas, they've had a falling out over John Mark. And Paul has taken Silas, and he's went back through those Western churches to check on them and to establish them. And while there, he's picked up Timothy. So it's Paul and Silas and Timothy. Now they're going to tonight, they're going to try to figure out what to do. Where to go. They've not really got a plan. But they know God has one. But they got to figure out what his plan is. And that's true for every one of us. We've all got to, the key to life is figuring out what God's plan is for our life. And I believe tonight we'll study about how Paul discerned the will of God for his life. And I believe there's some things that we can learn about discerning the will of God for our life. And what could be more important than knowing what God wants you to do? I tell my kids all the time, the world lays out a certain way to do things, and if that's how it happens, that's fine. As far as schooling and jobs and all of these different things. But what's most important is knowing that you're doing what God wants you to do. It's the only way that you'll be happy in life. Let's read together. Acts 16, verse 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he'd seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called for us to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of the port of Macedonia, a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by the riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. It came to pass as we went to prayer, certain damsel possessed of the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Let's pray together. Father, we ask, Lord, tonight in Jesus' name that you'd help us to preach exactly what you've laid upon our heart. God, as we study today, would you help us to bring those things back to our remembrance? God, I pray that you'd make the preaching easy. Lord, this is important stuff. We need to know how to divine your will, know your will for our lives. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us, God, as we study this, as you helped me today on studying it, Lord, to know how to know that we're in the will of God. Bless us and help us now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let me say this to you tonight. This is not an ordinary Wednesday night service. I say that because sometimes it's all good. All the Word of God's good. Everything that you can study from the Bible's good. Sometimes we look at a message and it lays a lot of foundational things for another message or whatever. But in this particular case tonight, what you may learn this evening could affect your entire life. Might change your life. So I'd ask for your attention as we talk a little bit about knowing the plan of God. Knowing the plan of God. Paul, he's a great man, head of the missionaries. We've seen him, been with him through his first missionary journey, saw him settle the issue of legalism there at the church at Antioch. You'd think he'd know exactly what God wanted him to do. But we find out in our reading tonight that he strikes out, checks on those churches, and then when he gets done, actually there's a little difference of opinion between what Paul thinks he should do and what God thinks Paul ought to do. You wouldn't think that, would you? I'd kind of think when I studied on Paul that everything that Paul did, man, he just knew what God wanted him to do. But it encourages my heart to know that there are times that even Paul struggled with trying to figure out what it was God wanted him to do. And so I want us to look at this struggle tonight. Now there is the discerning of the will of God. Paul, after he gets done with those churches that he's going back and working on establishing in the faith, he just kind of starts journeying. Him and Silas and Timothy, for some days, apparently, they walked west. They just kind of put the morning sun at their back and started west. And they're just meandering around, and no doubt there was many conversations about what it was they ought to do. Which way are we going, Paul? Where are we headed? Let's move on. It's time for us to go. Where are we going to go? Well, if you'll recall in Acts 15, they had started out on their journey to visit their brethren and see how they did. Well, they finished that part, and now there seems to not be any clear direction on what to do. Now, the Bible doesn't say, but I believe, Brother Billy, they probably put their heads together and said, well, we've been west. We've traveled west, and we've touched a lot of churches, and God has helped us. Let's go east. We'll just strike out toward the east, and we'll head out toward Asia, and we'll get down in there and preach the Word of God, and surely that's what we should do. And so they started in that direction. But the Holy Ghost would not allow it. Verse number 6, it said, now when they'd gone throughout Phrygia and the regions of Galatia and were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Here's your first thing. Can I say to you that sometimes knowing the will of God is not so much about knowing what God wants you to do as it is at first knowing what God don't want you to do. It's a prohibiting. Before Paul ever figured out what it was that God wanted him to do, he first heard from heaven on what God did not want him to do. And he did that through the person of the Holy Ghost. Let me say it to you this way tonight. We talk a lot about open doors, open doors. Here's another open door, and here's an open door. But did you know that closed doors are just as important to knowing what the will of God is for our lives as open doors are? And Paul had made up his mind. He's going a certain direction, but God had a different ideal in mind. And he's going to test Paul by shutting the door that Paul wanted to go through. Can I say this tonight? Most of us are way too hard-headed. Oh, we'll face closed door after closed door after closed door, and we're so intent on doing things our way that we can't take the hint when God is saying, I don't want you coming this way. It was a test for Paul of his priorities. God was trying to see if he would be one that would submit and do what it was that the master had told him to do. It was a test of perplexity. Here, before this verse, I want you to think about this. Before this verse, Paul had never been told no by God. Everywhere he decided to go, God had blessed it and helped it. This is a first for Paul. He makes up his mind, I'm going east, boy, and I'm going to hit the Asian continent. I'm going to preach over there in the south side of Turkey down through Asia Minor. I'm going to preach. I've got my mind made up. And God said, not so fast, hot shot. You might not get to do exactly what you think you're going to do. It was a head-scratching event for Paul. No doubt he wondered why it was that God wouldn't let him go that way. I mean, think about it. Preaching is good. Amen. Spreading the gospel's good. There wasn't nothing bad about what Paul wanted to do. But God still said, no, no, you can't go that way. Too many Christians, the only grass they ever throw up in the air is whether or not something's a sin. They say, well, I'm going to do this. Is it a sin? No, it ain't a sin. Well, I'm going to do it then. But there's more to knowing the will of God for your life than to figure out whatever it is that you're facing, whether or not it's a sin. Because there are good things that you could do. Going to Asia and preaching was a good thing, but it was not the will of God. And that perplexed Paul. And it tested his patience. It tested his patience. He wondered, would the door ever be open for Asia? Well, we know it eventually was. As a matter of fact, Ephesus is in Asia. And Paul developed a good missionary church there later on in his missionary career. But for now, God says no. Watch this. Life. Paul's learning a lesson right here, and I want you to learn this lesson tonight. Paul's learning the lesson that life is all about God's timing. You ever heard somebody say timing is everything? Well, it's not so much that timing is everything, it's that God's timing is everything. God is going to eventually let Paul go to Ephesus, which was down there in Asia, but not right now. It wasn't the time. The timing was wrong. And so God put up a stop sign in front of Paul and said, not right now. You can't do that right now. A big part, Brother Bobby, of the Christian life is learning to do things by God's timing. Not getting ahead or lagging behind, but listening to the Holy Spirit and doing and going as He says. It's all about God's timing. I thought about Moses. Moses is 40 years on the backside of the desert, 40 years outside of the limelight, 40 years wondering what in the world is happening in my life. And yet God, His timing was going to bring Moses to Egypt right on time. Joseph, Brother Billy's been preaching on Joseph. Would you not say that Joseph's life is completely about God's timing? It didn't seem right. He's down there in that pit. Didn't seem right. He's being accused at Potiphar's house. Didn't seem right. He's down there in the prison. He had these big dreams. When's God going to do it? Well, it wasn't about Joseph's timing. It was about God's timing. That's got to wait on God, see? So there is this thing of time. So there is, we see the prohibiting, but then we see the pleading. Look what the Bible said in verses 8 and 9. And they're passing by Messiah, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, and saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. You see that city they're at, Troas? You see that? Verse 8. You know why that's important? Because Troas, if you're traveling west, is the last city you get to before you come to the Aegean Sea. And once you come to the Aegean Sea, friend, you've got to pick a boat and get on it. I see Paul, he's praying, Lord, didn't let me go to, I know you want me to go west, didn't let me go to Asia. Lord, where you want me to go? Lord, why are you going? And then he runs all the way, Brother Noah, up against the Aegean Sea. Hey, they've got, Lord, I got to know something. I'm in between a rock and a hard. I can't go no farther until I hear from you. But you know what? Just when Paul needed an answer, God supplied one. Watch this. Here's what we like as Christians. We like for God to hand us an itinerary. Oh, life, look, today I'm going to be here, okay. Oh, tomorrow, looky there what I'm going to be doing. Boy, that's a blessing. Look here. Oh, look at 10 years from now, I'm going to be doing this job. I'm going to go to that school. Boy, ain't that great. Look here, I'm going to marry this person. I'm going to let, oh, look at these, going to have kids. But see, that's not the way God does things. He don't hand you an itinerary and you say, oh boy, I've lived my life by this. No. What he does is he says, go west, young man. Okay, God, just one step at a time. Paul making his way west. I don't know which way to go. I just know which way God don't want me to go. Are you hearing what I'm trying to preach? Sometimes you don't know where you're going, but you know which way not to go. And so you just go the opposite direction of the way you know not to go. Paul didn't know where he's going, but he knew where not to go. And he said, boy, I ain't going nowhere near where not to go. He's putting one foot ahead of the other. Oh, I've got a crazy imagination. I see him. They're walking one day. Silas said, was that a seagull? Paul said, oh, yeah. We're getting close to the Aegean Sea. Timothy said, oh boy, I can smell it. I just love the beach. Paul's going, oh, I dread seeing it. Because I don't know what we're going to do. We get up against that ocean. Game's up. I might have to make a decision. But God knew. In the instant that Paul put his foot on that last step, they laid down that night on the seashore to sleep. Here came a man from Macedonia. We know it as the Macedonian call. And it was a revelation to Paul about which way to go. But you see, if Paul had stopped way back there and said, God, you show me what I'm doing or I'm not going a step further, he wouldn't have never figured it out. So he just kept plodding along. And right on time, my goodness, right on time, God showed him exactly where to go. Now, there's the comfort in the pleading, but then there's also the condition of the pleading. Macedonia, we're going to deal with it. This man from Macedonia. Now, let's think about the Macedonians. You know who the Macedonians were? They were Greeks. There's a Greek pleading for Paul to come. Oh, he's a Gentile. That might matter, right? But he's calling from, it's the Macedonian call. He's calling from Macedonia over there.
And he says, we need help. Now the Macedonians, as far as looking at it from the world's perspective, they had everything. They had culture. They had philosophers. That's where Socrates and Aristotle came from. They had champions like Alexander the Great. They hosted the Olympic Games. I mean, they were the cream of the crop when it came to society. But you know what they didn't have? They didn't have the good news of the gospel. They didn't have Jesus. They didn't have the preaching of Paul. And the man of Macedonia said, while we've got everything as far as the world looks at it, Paul, we need your help because we don't have Jesus. And I say that reminds me of the condition of America. We've had everything that a man could ever dream of having in this country, but what we've missed out on is spiritual health and well-being. We see the condition. He realized that he had a spiritual need. Now people, for whatever reason, they put off dealing with spiritual needs. You ever notice that? That's the one need everybody put off dealing with. If you've got a health need, nobody puts that off. You know, you say, oh, let me. If tonight you go to have chest pains and shortness of breath, you'll take care of that for the morning. You won't say, you know, I don't really know. No, that's a health need. You'll take care of that. People that have financial needs, job needs, it consumes them. They work at it till they take care of it. But for some reason, people have glaring spiritual needs in their lives, and they'll just say, I don't really want to deal with that right now. I'll deal with it down the road. Macedonia. It's a Roman province. It's located on the northeastern side of the Aegean Sea. And sailing across the Aegean Sea, Paul went from Asia to Europe. Now that's important. You know why that's important? Look around at all us white folks sitting in here. We're all Europeans. Or of European descent, probably everybody in this building. The verses that I read to you tonight were the verses that were really important to our great 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 granddaddies. Because it was when the gospel came to Europe. Oh my. Let me read you a few things that I read today about it. B.H. Carroll said it was the most important event in history apart from the crucifixion of Christ when Paul took the gospel to Europe. James Stalker said that the fate of our continent, North America, was decided when Paul crossed the Aegean Sea. You and I have a church in Pensacola, North Carolina tonight because of the verses that I just read you when Paul brought the gospel to Europe. So this missionary journey, it is important as we study it because guess what? You and I are products of Paul's second missionary journey. They hear from God. They begin to ponder. I got to hurry. Verse 10 says, and after that they'd seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. That word assuredly gathering, in another place it's translated proving. Basically what it meant was after God came in that vision to Paul, they stuck their heads together. They looked at the big picture. They said, what does God want us to do? And it didn't take long for them to deliberate because the Bible said immediately they went. Too many folks take into consideration too many different things. Emotions and how we feel about things. But here's what they were interested in. What does God want us to do? And after they figured it out, you know what they did? Now this is deep. I hope you all get this. They did it. It's one thing to know what God wants you to do. But you know what God wants you to do, and if you don't do it, it won't never do you no good. Matter of fact, it's probably more dangerous than not knowing at all. But when they knew what God wanted them to do, the Bible said they immediately endeavored to go to Macedonia. They didn't put it off. They were sincere, they were submitted, and they said, we're going. Now watch this. You know what I didn't read right there? I didn't read Paul go, Macedonia. Lord, I'll go, but you and me both know that ain't what I wanted to do. Got on the boat, oh Lord, Macedonia. Over are them Grecians. I wanted to go to Asia. We could have been in Asia. No. Yes, sir. Amen. We'll go. You know what complaining is? They didn't complain because it wasn't, they just figured out what God wanted to do, and they went and done it. Because Paul and them realized that complaining is an overflow of a rebellious heart. You think about kids say, go clean your room. Well, they'll do it because they're afraid if you don't, you're going to bless them with your belt. Okay, but what do they do? Oh, I hate cleaning my room. I despise room cleaning. Rah, 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 room cleaning day. Rah, 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 rah. You know what that is? That's an overflow of a rebellious heart. That's them kids saying to you, I didn't want to clean my room. But they're afraid to say it like that. So instead, they while they're cleaning, they're belly aching the whole time. Have you ever met anybody that works in the work of God and they're doing a good work, but they complain about it all the time? I reckon I'm the only one ever does anything around here. I have to do it all, I reckon, blah, 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 blah. You know what God hears? God hears a rebellious heart. Paul didn't. He didn't complain. He wasn't rebellious. He just said, amen, okay, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, I'll just be submissive right here. And really, when you think about it, it was the only safe thing Paul could do. The only safe thing you can do is follow the will of the Lord. Amen. I'd rather die in God's will than die out of it, wouldn't you? So it was very... Now, notice this. Verse number 11 and 12. I'm trying to hurry, but I still got a long ways to go. Y'all all right? The Bible said they came with a straight course. They came with a straight course to Samothria. That's a little island about halfway in between. That word straight course, you know what that meant? That meant they had the wind at their back. It takes them 2 days to make this journey. Later in Paul's life, he's going to make it back, and it's going to take him 5 days. Because this time he's got the wind blowing at his back. Oh, back in those days, let me just throw this in here. Back in those days, they sailed the sea like this. That's how they sailed. And you say, why did they sail the sea like that? Because they had sails. And so they had to catch a wind. And sometimes the wind wasn't blowing exactly the way they wanted to go. But they'd catch that wind and they'd run it as far as they could go and turn on it with the rudder as hard as they could turn. But in the end, there was no way to drive a sailboat into the wind. You can't drive a sailboat into the wind. But this time, Paul's got the wind at his back. I just got to thinking about that. Paul stepped out and he said, let's go. And that flag went... They run that sail up and it went, poof, here we go. They're off on this journey. Now, there was other times in Paul's life where he had to go contrary to wind. There was another time over in Acts 27, we'll see it when we get there, that the south wind blew softly and they supposing they obtained their purpose. So you can't always stick your finger in the wind and gauge what God's doing. But right here's one time where God has given Paul great favor and he's allowing him to sail with the wind at his back. He goes to a chief city. It wasn't the capital. Philippi is not the capital of Macedonia. Thessalonica is, and Paul's headed there. But he stops at Philippi. It's kind of like, they said it was a chief city. It's kind of like Charlotte's bigger than Raleigh, but Raleigh's the capital. Well, Philippi, big hub city. Paul wanted to stop there, and so we'll find him making up his mind, going with God. He gets to Philippi. There's a lot of important reasons. One is he wants to start in a central hub city and win as many to Jesus as he can, and then send converts out from Philippi to win people in smaller villages. Another reason is it's a colony. Do you see where the Bible said it was a colony? You know what that means? That means it was Roman property. Oh, they weren't in Rome, but they were colonized by Rome. Let me show you something beautiful about that. In Philippians 3:20, when Paul's writing back to the church at Philippi years later, he tells them, he says, our citizenship is in heaven. Well, that's terminology that the church at Philippi would have understood crystal clear, because they lived in one city, but they were citizens of Rome. So Paul, he shows up at a place where there was a Roman colony. Then look at verse 12. Look what the Bible said. The Bible said there in verse number 12, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. Now let me show you something right here. Paul, he has this vision. He sees this fella. Come help us, Paul. I can see, and I know what I'd have been thinking if I was Paul. I'd have been, Brother Bobby, out on the edge of that boat going, where is that fella? I know he's going to be standing over there on the edge of the shore. Boy, hallelujah. We're going to shout it out. They wash up on the shore. All ashore that's going ashore, they gather up their stuff, step off the boat. Silas said, where is this feller? What called for you to come? Paul said, he'll be here directly. Evening starts to come. You know, they're all, to begin with, they're all sitting here looking like this. By that night, they're all sitting down leaning up on something. There's no welcoming committee. That feller what asked in that vision to come, he ain't even showed up. Maybe underneath his breath, Timothy said, we may have missed this. I think we might have missed this. Paul's doubting. God called him over here. How come ain't nothing happening? Well, sometimes it takes patience. They abode there many days. Watch this. They didn't get discouraged when they didn't immediately find out what it was God was doing. All they knew is they were where God wanted them to be. And if they had to sit and wait a few days or wait a few weeks or wait a few years, it'd be all right. People get too antsy. God bring them to a place in their life, and you know that you're where you need to be, but you're not content with it, so you want to move faster. Let's go faster. Let's get more accomplished. I see boys and girls make that mistake when it comes to boyfriends and girlfriends. They want to get married. Let's go faster. Let's do this. Let's get farther down the road. God's saying, hold on, wait a minute. But you know what Paul didn't do? He didn't quit. Now watch this, verse 13. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside. Watch what happens right here. Well, I reckon we'll put up here for the night. Silas said, in these other cities where you and Barnabas always preached, how did you get it going? Y'all remember, right? Paul said, well, we always preached in the synagogue. But you know what the problem is in Philippi? No synagogue. You know why? It's a Roman colony. Ain't no Jews there. Just a handful. It took 10 Jewish men to establish a synagogue. So apparently there's fewer than 10 Jewish men in all of Philippi. What are we going to do, Paul? Just to be honest with you, I don't know. Where are we going to preach at, Paul? I don't know. So maybe they start asking around. Do y'all know anybody that worships God? Well, we know some folks that worship the goddess Diana. No, that ain't what I'm talking about. Do you know anybody that worships God? Well, we know some folks that worship this God. No, that ain't what I'm talking about. Does anybody know the God Jehovah? You know Jehovah God? Anybody know Jehovah God? Finally, somebody said, well, there's some ladies that have a prayer meeting down by the river. And they're different. They might be the kind of folks you're looking for. And so Paul and Silas, they journey down by the riverside. Oh, can I say this to you? There's something about rivers and praying. The Bible said that where prayer was wont to be made, down by the riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the woman, unto the women which resorted there. You ladies, we're going to see the very first European salvation tonight, and it just happens to be a woman. You know, Jesus was always really in the women liberation business. Except not like this money hungry crowd that we call women's liberation. He really liberated women. They didn't have any building. They were down by the... Now, this is interesting. They weren't saved. These women weren't saved. Lydia, she's going to get saved tonight. They weren't saved, but they knew, being lost people, they knew that the way that that they were worshiping God in Philippi was not right. There's a great principle right here, and that is people need to walk with as much light as they have. Now, what do you mean, preacher? Well, you know, lost people, they'll receive some light. Here these women probably received the light of the conscience of their hearts. They looked at all the pagan worship that was going on in Philippi and they said, that's not getting it done. We don't know who the real God is, but we know that ain't Him. They walked according to what light they had, got down to the river, started praying. And then one day, Paul shows up. And he leads Lydia to the Lord. Now we see that Paul is starting to receive some things. Let me give this real quick. I got about 9 minutes. There's dividends for doing God's will. If you'll do things God's way, and that's what we're talking about tonight, is figuring out God's will and being patient for God's will and following after God. And if you'll do it, God will bless you. Think about it. What did Paul pick up? Well, he picked up a physician. Can I show you something right there in verse number 10? Who wrote the book of Acts? Anybody? Anybody? Come on. Huh? It's not Luke. Very good. Luke, the beloved physician. I'll show you something in verse number 10. All the way up to Acts chapter 16. In Luke's writing, he said they went. They did. They did this. They did that. They went here. But look at verse 10. And after he'd seen the vision, immediately we. See what? We. You know what that means? Luke's not writing about what they did anymore. He's writing about what we did. So right there in Troas, right when Paul decided to do the will of God, that's when he picked up his beloved physician, Luke, to travel with him. And Luke would end up being one of his greatest companions. As a matter of fact, when he writes from the jail cell in 2 Timothy, what does he say? Only Luke is with me. He's the last one standing. He got him because he did God's will. Did God's will. Now, let's look about Lydia for just a second, and then I'm going to be done. She establishes the church at Philippi. Look at verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Let's talk about Lydia. Think about her work. She was a seller of purple. That meant that she got those shells, that shellfish, and use them to dye clothing. Living there in that Roman colony, there'd been a great many important people that she could have sold purple material to, and apparently she was pretty good at it because she'd made a living in a house big enough to house Paul and Luke and Silas and Timothy. That's a pretty big house for that day. She's making some money, but she knows in her heart There's more to it than what she said. So she'd made a habit. I'm going to prayer meeting. Watch this. I'm just going to preach. I don't even care what time it is. It got Saturday morning. Lydia, where are you going? Well, you know me and these ladies meet down next to the river for prayer. Lydia, you don't even know which God you're praying to. Who you praying to today? Diana? No, I don't know God, but I know that ain't God. Oh, well, you going to pray to this God? That? No, I know none of them's God. There's a God out there somewhere, though. She go down there next to the river, her and those ladies. Oh, God, if you're out there, would you reveal yourself? And every Sabbath day, she was just willing to go. I got a thing about that in my mind today. She went Saturday after Saturday after Saturday, and nothing happened. They prayed and begged God to reveal himself, only to be disappointed again. Lydia walking back up the road, scuffing her feet around, saying, well, I don't know, didn't hear nothing. They got back to the house. Lydia, did you hear anything from God today? No, didn't. I don't know. Who is God, Lydia? I don't know. I don't know how many days, weeks, months, years went by. Her just shuffling her way down there on Saturday, praying to God to show up. But in God's time, Lydia was faithful before she ever was saved. Lydia's more faithful than a lot of church folks, and her loss is on high grass. She shows up the river one day. Oh, God, would you reveal yourself? Here comes a little apostle Paul walking down the trail. God had heard and answered their prayers. And so Paul goes to preach it. And get this, the Bible said that the Lord opened Lydia's heart. Let me say to you that in the day and hour in which we live, the church is trying to appeal to the intellect. The church is trying to appeal to the emotions. But what we need is for the Lord to open the heart. And when she opened the heart, she attended to the words of Paul. I wonder how many people over the years have missed out on what God's wanting them to do just because they turned the preacher off, said, I don't listen. And she got saved. And what we'll see in her salvation experience is that when she got saved, she ended up having a testimony without, because she's going to establish the church at Philippi. And my goodness, Paul's going to write a whole book to them. I'd say that's a pretty good church. Oh, Lydia must have had a pretty good testimony in the community. But then she also had a personal testimony, because the Bible said she got baptized and all her house did too. I read after one knucklehead today said that meant that her infants got baptized. That ain't what that meant. That meant she went home and got to telling them about Jesus and the whole push got saved. Tell you something. The first place we're to be missionaries to is in our own homes. If we don't win our children to the Lord, Lord have mercy, we've missed the mark. She went back home, she had Brother Gary a private testimony, and then she got out and she had a public testimony. Oh, I wish the Bible got into more detail, but it don't, so I have to use a little imagination. She had a big house. She said, I'm going to need a preacher. Oh, watch this right here. Luke, you know when I told you he used the word we? Well, he just uses it in that little bitty section. When you get past Acts 16, he goes to saying they again, all the way up into about the 23rd chapter. You know why? Because Luke stayed at Philippi. You know what I think happened? I think that Lydia said, well, I'll use this house for my church. Lord have mercy. That's the least I can do for the God that saved me. But I'm going to need a preacher. And Paul said, well, I'll tell you, I've got to have Silas and I got to have Timothy, but how about I leave Luke here? And he can be your preacher. And he can help you get this church established. Get it up and going. Somebody said, Paul, you got bad health. You'll need to take Luke with you. He said, I ain't worried about my health. I want to get a church established right here. So he left. I see them as they walk out of town, leave Philippi. They've heard the Macedonian call, going to go across the continent. my friend preaching the word of God. Luke standing in the door waving next to Lydia, tears streaming down her face. A church in the backdrop, not got no members. But I'd say it's pretty effective. Here we are. I'd say it worked out. Amen. I'd love to know all the story. Paul and Silas and Timothy disappear into the night, and the story continues with them. But back in Philippi, Luke and Lydia, how do we even start a church? I don't know. Lydia said, I know how we'll start it. I prayed God send us a minister, and he sent a minister down to the river. And a God that can do that when I was lost, imagine what he can do me a praying me saved. Oh boy, I get to praying now, no telling what God might do. Establishing that church yonder at Philippi. Now, let me look at this real quick. We'll be done right here. We see that there's the power of salvation, the focus of salvation, the responsibilities of salvation. We look at all those things. I just can't give you the points. And the testimony. But then look at the wish of Lydia. I'm going to be done. When she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Lydia said, I love Jesus so much. I love the message of the gospel so much. I want my house to revolve around it. Oh, my house ain't going to revolve around the cell of purple no more. Oh, no. I want it to revolve around Jesus. We see her concern for service. Can I say this to you tonight? Service always follows salvation. Then we see the cost of the service. She volunteered to take them in, to take care of them. It was going to put her out. But she didn't care. She was saved. She didn't care what it cost. She said, we'll just have it right here at my house. So their first stop is at Philippi. Now there might be a test at the end of this, and I hope y'all can get it. Who was the first person in Europe to get saved? It was Lydia. There at Philippi. She's not a European though. Now you what did the Bible say? She's from Thyatira. You know where that's at? Asia. Isn't it funny how things work out? Paul wanted to go reach Asians, and he sent him to Europe to reach an Asian. Oh my. Paul scratching his head. Where'd you say you was from again? My goodness, that's where I wanted to go preach. Now I'm here preaching to you here. Oh my. God's not done with them. They're just getting started. Some of the churches y'all are going to recognize, because Paul would later write to them books, were established during this missionary journey right here. Thessalonica, Ephesians, not the church at Ephesus, but the church here at Philippi. And I'm going to close you this thought right here. I promise I'm done right here. You know what ended up happening with Paul? He walked away from Philippi, and he's walking on to his next stop. Silas said, man, that was awesome what happened. That's awesome. Now, we've still got a whole Philippian jail experience left. We're going to deal with that next week. He ain't completely gone yet, but I'm skipping that because I'm going to deal with it next week. When they're done and they walk away from Philippi, Silas said, man, that was some stuff happened there in Philippi. And Paul said, you know what? I'll never forget that. I'll never forget it. What happened with Lydia, what happened with that Philippian jailer, we'll cover that next week. He said, I'll never forget all that. And as a matter of fact, when he'd write the book of Philippians, in Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 1, here's how he addresses them. He says, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. When Paul would write back to the church at Philippi, he said, listen, church, you're my joy and my crown. He'd always have a special place in his heart for this church at Philippi. Now, him and Silas are getting ready to get in trouble, big trouble. And we'll look at next week. Paul is going to acquaint himself with a place that he's going to be a lot, and that's in a jail cell. We'll start looking at Paul, the jailbird,
next week. Let's stand to our feet. Father, thank you, Lord, for helping us to preach tonight. Lord, these are grand and great and wonderful truths, Lord, from your word. Certainly we're thankful for them. We're thankful, Lord, for the Macedonian call. Lord, how that Paul brought the gospel across the sea there and it eventually spread in our direction. Lord, I pray, God, that you just continue to bless and help us, Lord, this church here on the riverbank. Do that as only you can. We'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.